Well, good morning again. It's wonderful to have you together in worship. The words, thank you, praise team, for leading in these wonderful songs. Obviously, Shepherd of My Soul, we're talking about the great I Am. And I love that Jesus twists, turns, changes the focus sometime. Not exactly sure how to say this. And we're talking about the I Am statements. And today we sang, I am who you say I am. And as we see these with these different I Am statements, we continue in our journey with John, the book, the gospel, his testimony of his witness of his time with Jesus Christ and the other disciples, of course. But we continue to see this growing rift between those who believe and those who don't believe. And it's put on another venue of darkness versus light and walking in the darkness versus walking in the light. We talked about that last week. So we're continuing this. The series is called Magnify Christ because we just want to constantly focus on Jesus and understand who he is, because when we understand who Jesus is, and one of the best ways to understand who he is to study and understand the gold nuggets of who he says he is, who he says he was when he was here with us on earth, and who he says he is as he's with us now. And we turn that, you know, I am, and then we say, I am. I love that song, I am who you say I am. Because what we were doing in corporate worship, lifting up our voices in prayer and song, we were proclaiming, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. It's beautiful for us to say that and confess that. So we're magnifying Christ. And today we're looking at John chapter 10 gives us two beautiful I am statements. There's actually three times that Jesus says it, but it's a little subtle the third time around because he doesn't come right out and say, I am the Son of God, even though he really does. We'll get to that in a moment. But I just want to rehearse that we talk about bread, and bread is being righteous, eternally anticipating deliverance, right? As we have the Lord's Supper today, and we pause to remember his broken body and his shed blood, we remember the deliverance that he gives to us as our bread, because he is the bread of life. And then we've covered light. Love incarnate gives hope and truth. I mean, love incarnate. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He became flesh, as John says, and dwelt among us and walked among us. And then John the Baptist, in that beautiful statement, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right? So Jesus is our Lamb. He was the sacrificial Lamb who gave his life, shed his blood, and his body was broken on the cross for you and me. But today, He changes it slightly. And so we've covered I am the bread in chapter 6. I am water, living water. Jesus said, come to me in chapter 7. All who are thirsty and I will give you water. In chapter 8, he says, I am the light. And then last week we covered the man born blind and Jesus discussing about how he is the light of the world. So today we are going to have in John chapter 10, three images, and they're not necessarily the images I project. They're three thoughts, three mental images, and the messages that accompany them. And so thank you again to Melissa and her team. We have a gate up here because Jesus said, I am the gate. Okay, and we're going to discuss the gate and the significance of sacrifice and protection and gathering. Jesus said, I am the shepherd. We'll come to that with a recognition. Knowing and being known are the themes. And then he says, I am the Son of God. Right? And what does it mean belonging and allegiance? being part of this beautiful family that we are here celebrating today. So let's pause and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we take a moment to continue to focus on you, to continue to worship you and proclaim you are holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we pause and we invite you, Holy Spirit, who dwells within us and moves among us, to come afresh now. Open our hearts, open our minds as we open your word and you reveal yourself. Lord, we want more of you because you are the bread and you are our shepherd. You are the gate by which we enter into relationship with you. So thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for dying on the cross and for giving us family and belonging and being a part of your body, your bride, the mighty church of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So, first thought, I'm already there. Good, I didn't do it. Is John 10, 1 through 10. And I love the entire chapter. It's not that long of a chapter, but I'm not going to read it all today. I'll just go through some different thoughts. Jesus is still in Jerusalem, and he is in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. So it was columns, a place on the side of the temple. And he teaches, and he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Okay, Jesus is teaching here. What is he saying? He says, continuing in verse 2, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. In verse 3, he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. So in the same way that we have the dark and the light, those who believe and those who don't believe, today Jesus is taking us deeper into an understanding of who is the good shepherd and what are the characteristics, the qualifications of a good shepherd versus what he doesn't say it in this chapter, but we could just say a bad shepherd, okay? And think about the context of he's teaching his disciples, but he's in a very public place, and so there are probably crowds that are hearing his voice. And among them are, can I say, the black sheep dressed in the garb of the Pharisees, right? They had the special clothes that they wore, and they had things that they had to do because they were diligently following their religion, okay? And so he's contrasting the good sheep with, or the good shepherd, with the bad shepherd. And so the first thought is the gate. And the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, Jesus said. The lawful and rightful entry into the sheep pen is through the gate. And if you think about Jesus' time and the mental image that they're going to have, I don't know what you have when you think about a sheep pen. I didn't grow up around sheep. I'm not a shepherd. Oh, okay, I am, but I'm a different shepherd. But it was probably some enclosure with just a gateway. And this was the entrance and the exit because it was a protected place at night when the sheep were gathered. And then, of course, the shepherd would come and take them out. And the shepherd would actually become the gate. The shepherd would probably spend the night or at least position himself in the doorway so that nothing could come in or go out without his being aware of it. So that's what Jesus is saying is when he says, I am the gate, he's talking about. He is physically the means by which we enter and or exit the sheepfold. And of course, the sheepfold is the image of the kingdom in this perspective. And so in verse 3 and 4, Jesus talks about the gatekeeper. And I wanted to put this in a positive light because, again, he's contrasting the good shepherd with the not-so-good shepherd or the bad shepherd. And the gatekeeper, which is another individual, will recognize the shepherd. And then if there is a gate, a door, he will open it up because he recognizes the shepherd and the shepherd's voice, as do the sheep. And we think about who is worthy. When I think about who is worthy, I go to the book of Revelation. And in chapter 4 and chapter 5, you have this beautiful time at the gathering of the kingdom. And John is there in spirit having this vision. And there is a scroll that needs to be opened. But no one is worthy to open the scroll. And in this beautiful image, his attention is turned, and here comes the Lamb of God, who is worthy to open the scroll so that the consummation, the completion. So Jesus is the one who is not only worthy because of what he did for you and me in fulfilling the law and becoming our sacrifice, he is the means by which we come and go. And we'll get to the way, the truth, and the life in a few weeks. But Jesus is worthy. And the sheep, in verse 4, follow the shepherd, and he leads them because they know his voice. Okay? You and I are learning to be healthy disciples in a healthy church. In order to be a healthy disciple, we need to learn to listen to his voice. So, are you spending time listening to his voice? Are you reading the word and saying, Lord, speak to me through your word? Are you listening in Bible study and in fellowship times with one another where you're iron sharpening iron and you're praying for one another? Yesterday morning, we had the men's prayer breakfast, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship and eating, but then we prayed in small groups, three or four, for 45 minutes. We were in prayer for you and for each other. We were lifting up Emmanuel, the body of Christ, and interceding on behalf of one another, claiming his kingdom and his righteousness. We were listening for his voice. But then we have the negative aspect, and they didn't understand. Okay, the people who were listening to him, they didn't quite get it. Now, this frequently happens. John tells us every time that there is an event or a teaching or a dialogue, there is confusion and they don't get it. So Jesus tells them bluntly and straight in verse 7, I tell you the truth. And in the ESV, it was verily, verily. Anytime you see that, behold, proclaim, verily, verily, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. And so when the sheep returned to the fold at night after a day of grazing, the shepherd stood in the doorway of the pen and inspected each of them as they entered. He would anoint any who were scratched or wounded, and he would give water to those who were thirsty. After all the sheep had been counted and been brought into the pen, again, as I said, the shepherd would lay down in the entry across the doorway so that no intruder, human or beast, could enter without the knowledge of the shepherd becoming the door. He was the sole determiner of who entered the fold and who would be excluded. And again, we're going to talk in a few weeks about the way, the truth, and the life. And verse 9, Jesus says, those who come in through me will be saved. So he's saying, I am the gate, I am the means, I am the way. When you come in to the kingdom through me, you will be saved. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. And I put up negative gatekeepers because in our mission experience, we would study culture and we would study people groups. And a gatekeeper in our context of study was someone who would keep culture, keep tradition, or keep people from things. And so the negative aspect of the gatekeeper here that I want to talk about is the not so good shepherds, right? The people who were responsible for leading the children of Israel, the people of that time, and they were trusting in tradition, they were trusting in culture, and Jesus is very strong and strongly contrasting what a good shepherd does versus what a not so good shepherd does, or I would say a bad shepherd. And so their purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And what does that sound like? It sounds like Satan. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around the pen, right? The church, us, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." But then you have the beautiful verse 10 where Jesus says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So, yes, we need to be wary. We need to be cautious of religion, and we're surrounded by that. And we need to understand that Jesus is the gate. He is the means by which we come into the presence of God, by we enter into relationship with Him. And it's through Jesus Christ that we become the sheep of His pasture and the flock of His field. So then moving along, and this is, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Recognition, knowing, and being known. And this is basically verses 10 through 21. And so some of the thoughts that I want to talk about here are shepherd. Okay, now just stop for a minute and think about shepherd. I asked the guys yesterday, were any of you actually shepherds? Did you grow up around sheep? I grew up around cows and pigs and chickens and rabbits, cats and dogs, but we didn't have any sheep where I grew up. But think about, in the beginning, God created, gave Adam and Eve the responsibility of managing the garden. And so I'm sure there were sheep there, though they were responsible for all the other ones. So as we flow through the story of the Bible, we come to Abraham, right? Abraham was a shepherd. When they went into the promised land, they had too many sheep, really. And so Lot and Abraham decided to separate their flocks and to go to different places, and we have that story. So Abraham was a shepherd. And then Jacob, the beautiful story of Jacob and his taking care of sheep for his father-in-law so that he could marry. And, you know, then when they were separating years later through all of that story, you know, the speckled sheep and the non-speckled sheep. And so Jacob was a shepherd. Even his son, Joseph, was out watching the sheep when he was asked about his brothers. And then when we come down to this story, what was Moses doing when he saw the burning bush? He was out watching sheep. He was a shepherd. So this beautiful theme of shepherd flows throughout the Bible. And we see when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he's again drawing upon this rich heritage, this beautiful imagery of what it means to care for the flock. And then probably some of our most favorite is David. I mean, what was David before he was a king? He was a shepherd, and he knew what it was like to be out spending long hours protecting and watching over his sheep and guiding them and caring for them and taking care of their needs. So the good shepherd, which is Jesus our Lord, sacrifices his life for his sheep. Jesus sacrificed his life for you and for me. And note in verse 18, he says, "No one can take my life from me," right? Yes, Jesus was arrested. Yes, he was beaten. Yes, he was crucified by the Roman soldiers, by the system that did not want this Lamb of God to be teaching, but he willingly laid down his life for you and me, his sheep. He said, I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority, the power from God to lay it down when I want to, and I will also take it up again. So it was Jesus who raised himself. He was fully God, fully man. He raised himself from the dead. For this is what the Father commanded, Jesus finalized in verse 18. So as opposed to the hired hand who runs away when the wolf comes into the sheepfold, Jesus protects us. Jesus did exactly what he needed to do. And that leads us to the good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows you and me. And so a beautiful passage that I want to look at is Psalm 23. You all know it. David, the shepherd, wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." So what I wanted to do with you is I'm going to put up my Psalm 23. And yes, there's a little trepidation here, because I'm being very vulnerable and sharing with you my journey. I wrote in my journal, but I didn't date it. I think it's somewhere in 2003. In a season of recasting the Psalms that are prayers, I wanted to write in my hand, in my journal, my prayers to God. So recasting is just taking the Word of God and praying it. And I think I probably started with Psalm 23 because Sharon learned this in seminary. And I want to encourage you to pray the Word of God. And so this, I know there are a lot of words up there and it's hard for you to see because it's probably too small. But in my journey from believing the message of the arrows, the things that Satan said that I was, right? And I shared with you a few weeks ago, the false lies. They weren't false lies, they were lies that I believed about myself, that I couldn't be loved, right? And I shared with that, this was part of that process of taking Psalm 23 and saying, Papa, right? Because that's what Jesus, Abba. Abba means Papa. And so Jesus was teaching us, when we come to Father God, we can cry out to Papa and see him as our loving, kind, generous Father. Even if our experience in life was not having a kind and generous Father, we can come to God and we can say, you are my care provider, right? You can put in a different word. You are my protector. You are my loving Father. You are kind and good and generous. In your presence, I am never without. You support me and sustain me. You allow me times of refreshing rest in lushy, grassy fields. You walk with me along peaceful paths like streams in the desert. You restore my strength because you are my strength when I am weak. When I am weak, he is strong. And I won't go through the whole thing, but I recast it, and this is my prayer, talking to God using Psalm 23 and saying what we sang. I am who you say I am, right? If you and I have message of the arrows, things that we believe that are not what the Word of God teaches us, we need to relearn what I put in the yellow. I feel wanted, right? I had to learn that I feel safe. I feel restored. When I'm in the presence of my loving shepherd, I feel safe. I feel comfortable and relaxed. I feel like a prince, right? You and I are children in the kingdom of God. We are princes and princesses in his kingdom. He has won the victory. These things that sometimes are hard for us to believe are what you and I can claim. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am loved. I am who you say I am. Let's continue to say that. Let's continue to pray that. And let's continue to trust in the Good Shepherd, because he recognizes us and he knows us and he loves us. So, the third thought, I am the Son of God. And this is in verse 36. And following, the verse 34 following, Jesus replied, it is written in your own scriptures that God said to certain leaders of the people, I say you are gods, and you know what the scriptures can't, that the scriptures cannot be altered. So if those people who recognize God's message were called gods, and he's making an argument with the Pharisees, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? After all, the Father sent me apart and sent me into the world, set me apart and sent me into the world. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's works. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done. Even if you don't believe, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So he's talking about allegiance and belonging. And the first thought that I have here is the Good Shepherd protects his sheep. And I want to, for a few minutes, talk about shepherd. Because when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the body of Christ and the responsible people for the body of Christ. And he uses some very important words: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. This is the apes that we've talked about a little bit before. And what I want to highlight is that these are the attributes, characteristics of the body of Christ. We are to be apostolically sending people to other places to tell about Christ. We are to be evangelizing. Last night in Reitio Park, I think it was 15 or 20 people who heard the gospel message, and several of them received Christ. And so they prayed and confessed, yes, I believe. And those who didn't even, the message of the good news of Jesus Christ was planted in their life. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will do the work of growing that up in due season. But the fourth word, we use pastor in our common terminology. And I have to stand here and tell you that it is an honor and a privilege to be your pastor. When you say Pastor Mark, it's a beautiful familial term, and it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to be your shepherd. Because the biblical word, and I've got some Greek scholars in here, so do I dare say poime? Is that close enough? Yeah, okay, I got the confirmation. So the Greek word is poime, and that actually means shepherd. And so the role that I have for you is to shepherd, right? Just like Jesus was the good shepherd, and he is our shepherd. So I'm an under-shepherd under Jesus, because Jesus is our shepherd. But my role is to shepherd you, and sometimes that is to guide and to say, come on, let's go. We're going to go over here and we're going to try this. We're going to do this. We're going to focus on this aspect of some church aspect. But it's also protection. And it's also, you know, using that rod and that staff. They were both for care, but they were for protection. And David talked about that. You know, he knew that with the lion and with the bear that he had to protect his sheep with that club. And so I and you together with each other, because it's not just that I have the pastoral role or the shepherding of the sheep. It's that we all are to shepherd one another. Okay? So I can't be with everyone all the time. So we have leaders, we have teachers, we have other people in the church who are shepherding. And if you and I will see shepherding as our role, then in times of difficulty, in times of need, in times of being an encouragement to one another, you and I can shepherd each other. We can take care of each other, right? That's our role. That's our job, our task that we are to do. And so it's about Jesus protecting us and our entering into relationship with him to protect and to provide and to care for one another. And it's about belonging. The good shepherd owns his sheep. I wasn't sure how to put that, and I thought, well, just say it that. We belong to Jesus, right? As we belong to one another. We're a body, a bride, a church. We're members and participants in the kingdom of God together, belonging. And when I think about that, it took me to Isaiah 43, verse 1 and following. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says. And if I'm recasting that, I would say, but now, O church, listen to the Lord who created you. O Emmanuel, the one who formed you says, and here's the quotes, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. Right? My Psalm 23, we are ransomed. He continues, I have called you by name, you are mine. So if you ever feel like I'm alone, nobody loves me, your heavenly Father loves you. He sent Jesus for you, and Jesus knows your name. He calls you by name, right? As the sheep are coming into the pen, he knows every one of them by name because Jesus knows you and me. And then it says in verse 10, 2, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, it reads, your Savior. So do you note that it's not if you go through the flood or the flame or oppression, it's when. So when we go through challenges, when we go through difficult times, we can know and trust that he says, I am with you. Don't be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. And then obedience. The good shepherd is obeyed. And this is allegiance. In verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, the sheep that are given by the Father to the Son belong to his flock and are characterized, remember we're working on a healthy church, being a healthy disciple in a healthy church, so these are the characteristics or attributes. It says the flock are characterized by obedience, recognition of the shepherd, and allegiance to him. So we pledge allegiance to Jesus. We give him our loyalty. We give him our lives. And why do we do that? Because he laid down his life for us. So as our offering, as our giving up our lives to him, we're saying, Lord, take me. I'm yours. I'm your sheep. I give you my loyalty, my obedience, my allegiance. You are my God. No other thing comes between you and me. You and I are in right relationship. And if there's anything in my life that I need to surrender, Lord, I ask you to reveal that to me and allow me the humility to say, I put aside whatever is coming between you and me. So our thoughts this week is, I am the gate. God Almighty transferring eternity. So God Almighty, through the work of Jesus Christ, our beautiful door, the gate by which we enter into the kingdom, is bringing us, transferring us, transforming us into eternity, which means a relationship, right, with Jesus Christ, with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And then a big, big one, shepherd. These were the harder ones. Singing hallelujah. Don't we do that, right? Ever praising, holy Emmanuel, reigning deliverer. Singing hallelujah, ever praising, holy Emmanuel, reigning deliverer. He is our good shepherd. He is our bread, living water, springing up within us as we trust into him, as we come into relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, you are eternal, almighty, holy God. You are our good, good Father, and you take care of us. And sometimes, yes, Father, we are like sheep who go astray, but you are the shepherd who comes after us. Even if we leave, you go after that one lost sheep because you love us and you care for us so much. So cause us to focus on you and to return to you and to walk in the light, to be your obedient children, your sons and your daughters, your princes and princesses in your kingdom. And Lord, as you're at work in and through us, give us the strength, give us the ability to be for one another the blessing of love and care and compassion. As you shepherd us, Lord, help us to shepherd one another as we are being transformed into the likeness of your Son. We love you, we trust you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.